Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Happy Friday, everybody. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I'm back. I'm back in full swing. Yes, I was here yesterday. I was even here the day before, so this makes 3 days in a row, which is rare for me lately. But I'm back on the golf course today after a six-day hiatus. Look, I love my family. My sister, her husband, her three girls all came into town, spent the week with us. It's fantastic. Kept me off the golf course is what it did. That will not be an issue today. The weatherman is cooperating.
No, you're heading out despite
I'll be out there,
round two of the Masters being on. And
you know the beautiful thing about that? Round two of the Masters?
Replays at 7 or whatever.
Replays all day, all night, man. I got Daredevil tonight on Netflix.
Yeah, I'll start that when I get home today.
Daredevil or the Masters?
Daredevil. Because the Masters doesn't come on until 3.
That's true.
Jason Day's your guy, right?
Jason Day is my guy.
He's playing well. Devitt.
You and Tony should compete to break in with breaking Jason Day positive news anytime he makes a birdie or an eagle or, dare I say, matches Gene Sarazen's double eagle feat at Augusta National.
Right.
Oh, Tony, you know, I actually, it was great because I was coaching soccer yesterday. By the way, I figured out how we can incorporate
this Masters talk. Guess I don't have at least one birdie before we get off the air.
I'm hoping.
Considering he'll play two before we're done today.
This is true. Second hole. Very birdieable hole. But I figured out, because, you know, some people are like, oh, I can't believe they're not talking about football every second of the day. But here's what I figured out. Here's how we tie it in to Jaguars Today.
Oh.
Josh Scobie enjoys golf. He's a pretty good golfer, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if Josh Scobie saw what Jason Day did yesterday.
Then
all you have to do is say that, and you can talk about everything Jason Day did yesterday.
I'm pretty sure Scobie's there. I'm pretty sure he's there today.
Is Scobie at the Masters?
Oh, yeah. Scobie. He tweeted about it.
He's probably got the 1010XL app going in his ear. Scobie.
What up, Scobes?
How you doing? Okay. You can compete with your boys, Tony and Tyler, here if you want to break in live from the course. Are we showing more Tiger fresh bad shots yet? No, these are yesterday's
bad shots. I saw all this.
Yeah, I saw this, too. He actually parred this hole, which was ridiculous. He was playing 9. He was in the first fairway, hit some trees on the pine straw, hits that low hook 40 feet from the pin, back of the green, and ran that thing in. That was unbelievable. Tiger scrambled. I thought scrambled very well considering how bad he played yesterday. But
sure. At least if the short game was in the same shape it was 2 months ago, it would have been a disastrous sort of round for Tiger Woods. But it wasn't.
I think it was Azinger I heard this morning as I walked out. I walked over to Ryan Robinson's office. Coincidentally enough, others around here at Everbank are taking in the coverage of the Masters as well. And I think I heard Azinger, because we have the ESPN on here. They just showed Jordan Spieth's tee shot a moment ago. But we don't have the sound on, obviously, in the studio. And I think Azinger said, well, I never thought Tiger had the yips. I'm like, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Did you watch him?
Okay. Because I guess he didn't chip poorly yesterday. He hit full shots poorly at times. But, yeah, sure, I guess.
Well, it's back to being the Tiger Woods we knew before the yips 2 months ago. It's just he can't drive the ball straight, and he's having to scramble constantly on any golf course he plays.
They were right about one thing. The back seems fine. A couple of those swings he took, holy cow, I'd be in traction. That 9-iron he hit from under the trees, you can't appreciate the angles on some of these shots he's hitting. He hit that big 9-iron fade from jail. The great thing about Augusta, though, there's still no rough there. They call it the first cut that they put in there, but I mean, it's all wide open. If you and I hit it where some of these guys hit it, we'd be in some marsh, swampy area on any course around here. But they're just on some nice pine straw with a clean lie, and you just hope you don't have a tree directly in front of you.
Right.
That's it. Right? Yesterday, I coached soccer, had soccer practice in the afternoon, so I didn't really get to watch Jason Day as it was unfolding.
Him and Spieth were putting on a show.
5 in a row,
yeah.
But I would have been frustrated because he got to 6-under, and then he bogeyed one of his final two holes, bogeyed 17, and dropped back to 5-under. So there you go. There's your Josh Scobie update on Jaguars today, this morning. We've got a few choice things to get into today on this Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, including the Friday Top 5, Tony, which will tie into this date in football history. We'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
Friday Top 5 is pretty straightforward. Who are your top 5 favorite all-time sportscasters, okay? If you say anyone in this room, we know you're lying, okay? And you will not get that list read on the air. But tweet us your list today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. And you can also post, of course, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010, the phone number if you'd like to play along. These are your personal favorites. They don't just have to be from the NFL. They don't have to be just from football.
Sure.
We're not asking you to rank the greatest pantheon of sportscasters. Your favorite personal guys. And I would assume a lot of those tie into the teams you root for. Some may, some might not.
They certainly could. And with my list, I know at least a little bit of that flavor in there. Do want to let people know with the Scobie update here.
Scobie update.
Ernie Els, who started the day at 5-under, birdie 2 to get to 6-under, just 2 off the lead of Jordan Spieth earlier this morning, just bogeyed 5.
Atta baby.
So he's back
to
5-under.
Not Jason Day.
3 strokes behind the lead.
Way to go,
Jordan
Big Easy.
Spieth. Yeah.
Way to go, Big Easy. I like Ernie. I like
I
to see
too.
Ernie be in contention on Sunday. Finish maybe, I don't know, second to Jason Day would be fantastic. Look, I'm not rooting for an injury to Jordan Spieth. We need to beat these dirty Euros in a Ryder Cup at some point. So I want this man to be transcendent when it's Ryder Cup time. But I've already used him in my fantasy golf league, and he can only use him once. So if he wants to go on a bogey binge from here on out, really for the rest of the year, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and Jason Day's not a Euro. He's an Australian. So.
Right, exactly. But I'm not talking about, I don't care if the Euros win the Masters, or I don't want them to win the Ryder Cup.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
That's nonsense, okay? Bring it back. Once again, your extended Josh Scobie update here on Jaguars Today as he takes in the proceedings. I think Lauren Brooks has the course looking fantastic.
It's amazing.
I should mention as well, former Jaguars Today producer Lauren Brooks, now the head greenskeeper at Augusta National, and she is doing a tremendous job with that.
Stepping stool. That's what this job is. Stepping stool.
A stepping stool, yeah. Is it?
It's just the gateway to the next thing.
Tyler, what are you angling for, man?
That's
what's your dream job? Where can we help you get to?
I would love to go work at Bay Hill or, you know, some golf course on the West Coast, somewhere out there.
Oh, so you want to follow in Lauren's footsteps. I thought you would want to, like, paint the court where the Hoosiers play. Something like that.
Nothing to do with
Indiana basketball.
I would love to follow in Lauren's footsteps. She was just the greatest producer the station's ever had, so.
Wow, Donna Murphy's not happy with you right now.
I hope she's not listening.
That. She's always listening, all right? Donna Murphy, I do not necessarily concur with that sentiment. I fully expect that Tyler's top five will be whatever five guys have been the most recent voices of Indiana basketball, living and or dead. I don't know. Have no idea. We got the preseason schedule out, Tony.
Yeah.
They listened to me. I got my wish. We got the third week at home. We'll get into that schedule coming up a little bit. We didn't touch much on Mel Kiper's mock. You mentioned it yesterday. But we'll get into a few of the specifics of it as
I just
well.
Got the bird from Donna through the window over here. She's not too
nicely
happy.
Played, Donna Murphy. Nicely played, and you're lucky you didn't get the Bud Adams double bird.
That's right.
Salute, all right? Just the one, the single bird coming your way. I told you Donna's always listening to the show. Number of draft prospects visiting over the course of the week with Jaguars.com's Brian Sexton, and we'll bring you some of the sound of some of those guys, just a clip or two from each, and encourage you to head to Jaguars.com to listen to the full exclusive interviews with those guys there. You heard the guys this morning on the drill talking about Buck Allen. Who's Buck Allen? I'm with them. I didn't, you know, like, the name didn't immediately send up signals in my brain like, oh, yeah, that's the USC running back. Mm-hmm. But pretty damn impressive totals. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, people talk about the Pac-12 and how much defense do they play out there. It's not a chopped liver conference, Tony. I mean, you could find good running backs, by the way, at lots of places. I know they mentioned it. I don't know what the context was, but I heard them mention Matt Forte. He went to Tulane, for goodness sakes.
Right.
If you can run, you can run.
Yeah, they'll find you.
And he put up impressive numbers. We heard a little bit from Vic Beasley as well as a couple of other of the guys who've been making their way through Everbank this week, a very busy visit week. Ryan Robinson told me, as Jags PR guy, Gus Bradley was up at North Dakota State yesterday, his alma mater. Spent an hour talking with coaches, an hour talking with players, an hour talking with, I'm not sure, maybe boosters, basically. Said he got a 2 minute standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
2 minute standing ovation. That is ridiculous. You know how long that is? The obvious answer is 2 minutes long. But that's a long time, Tony. I mean, I don't know what other distinguished alumni North Dakota State has. And Gus is certainly a very popular guy. I'm sure he was much beloved his time there as he is in Jacksonville. And imagine if he started winning, how beloved he would be. But went up there yesterday to share the philosophy of Gus on team building and all that stuff. And a 2 minute standing ovation as he returned, which is pretty cool as far as that goes. He's en route back to Jacksonville as we speak, I believe, is my understanding of what's going on right now. I know he's traveling at the moment. So we'll get to a number of those things, including, as I said, the preseason schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kind of run through that. I think it's, you know, it's pretty meaty in terms of teams you would want to see in the preseason, Tony. You know, certainly
sure.
Interesting. We'll get into that. And I don't know how important that is. I think by the time the preseason rolls around, you're just so hungry for football. You know, you'd come out and see them play anybody. It doesn't really matter as far as that goes.
Yeah, but it is nice because of the teams that are on the schedule this year. They're not playing the usual suspects in the preseason. So you got some new faces in there and some exciting ones, to be honest with you. So it's preseason football in the end. It is what it is when we get to that point. But by the time we get to August, everyone's going to be so starved to get any kind of football that we'll obviously be very excited about it.
We've got a new landmark. We're now 3 weeks away from round 2. And 3 of the NFL draft. So, we're excited about that, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You gotta tick off the pages somehow on this, long off-season calendar.
Avengers. That's, 22 days away from round 4 through 7 of the draft, or the Pacquiao Mayweather fight is that Saturday night as well. That's a busy, busy weekend.
Yeah, I could care less about Pacquiao Mayweather, except in case, Pacquiao is gonna break Mayweather's face.
Pac-Man, go get him, buddy.
I'd be, in favor of that. I told you what, Colin told me about, Avengers. And spoiler alert, if you really don't want to know anything, mini spoiler alert.
It's in the preview.
I know, but not everybody may have picked up on it, right?
Sure.
But Scarlet Witch kind of puts the hex on the Hulk, and that's why the Hulk is fighting Iron Man and the Hulkbuster in all the previews that are out, right?
Yeah.
So his aunt buys him a Lego set with the Hulkbuster armor, right? So he's putting that thing together. It's got a little mini Lego Scarlet Witch in there, and she's kind of, the way it's set up, she's hovering over the Hulk. And I say, Colin, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I think the, you know, Scarlet Witch may put the hex on the Hulk, and that may be why he's fighting against the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Daddy, Mommy and I have known about this for weeks now, and we have not told you, so you wouldn't be disappointed and know it in advance. I'm like, wow, you watch way too much YouTube, buddy. I got to monitor that a little bit more. But as long as that's what he's sticking to, knock on wood, he's 10 years old, I'll be okay with that. All right, 641-1010. It is 1010 in the AM on 1010 XL, a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Just getting rolling here on Jaguars Today. If you want to get on board, 641-1010, the number. You've got the Twitter handles, Friday Top 5, your top 5 favorite sportscasters of all time. We'll share ours with you a little bit later on. Dave DeCandis voting for himself. J.P. Shatterick also voting for Dave DeCandis. How about that as they walk by the studio? I thought that was really unselfish of JP.
No, it really was. By the way, David Cornwell, who was the attorney for Jameis Winston in the rape accusations from about a year and a half ago now, is speaking today at Villanova. Some tweets coming out from what he said this morning are filtering onto Twitter. I will fill you in on what
saying
next.
Because we do want to get it's a very interesting dynamic that's going on with Jameis Winston. I don't think I brought it up on air yesterday, but I talked to a member of the Buccaneer organization yesterday, and I said, Winston, your guy? You know, just an offhand comment. We weren't even talking about that. He goes, you know, I'm not sure. And so we'll get into that because it seems, look, it may just be the fact that we're 3 weeks away from the draft. It's that kind of season where every scenario gets played out publicly and trial balloons are floated left and right. Or maybe there's something to it. Get to that coming up. The Jags preseason schedule and a whole lot more coming your way. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Have we gotten rid of Tyler yet today?
I'm still here.
Let me know when you're out, man. What a Donna Murphy takeover today. Advise me when that's happening. 641-1010. Go ahead.
I'm about to go grab her. I'm about to go grab her. I have a meeting, so you'll have her for one full segment, so enjoy.
That's all. Man. Be the best part of the show coming up today, Tony. Here it comes. It's moments away. All right. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010, MD_1010XL, 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter. Christoph says, easy on that Euro. What do they call it? Dirty Euro talk. Less dirty Euro talk. Chris, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those dirty Euro Ryder Cuppers.
That's right.
And yes, Irish Jaguar, we are mad. Okay? They mad? Oh, they mad. Hashtag Ryder Cup. I don't like that one in the Ryder Cup.
Me either.
I like the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup is right up there with my favorite sporting events, period. Period. And quickly losing my love for it with the beatings that we've been taking of late. So that's just the way it's going to go.
Right.
All right. Oh, hello, Donna Murphy.
What's going on?
Did you kick him out of the studio?
I booted him. What are you, crazy? Yeah.
Of course. Look, I love Lauren Brooks, but come on. Let's get real here. Let's do the ranking, shall we?
Did he tell you what I did when I heard that?
He said you you showed him your manicure.
Yes, I did. Very much.
Just one finger at a time.
Yes.
Started with the middle one.
And I kept it there.
Well played, Donna Murphy. Yankees, Red Sox, I don't even want to talk to you right now as much as I like you because I have a feeling things aren't going to go well. We just threw our best three pitchers out there.
Oh, yeah. And getting to the bottom end of that rotation.
Tony's happy. Hot.
Oh, I'm 3-0.
I can't get Pineda back again for the weekend. So
bring on the Mets.
He's the only one who did anything out there. This is fantastic, the Mets. All right, let's get to it, Tony. Jameis Winston, his attorney.
Yes.
Right?
David Cornwell was speaking at Villanova Law School apparently this morning. Someone on that I do follow redirected me to somebody else's Twitter feed who apparently was there for this event. Whatever it happens to be, I don't know why he's speaking today, but he is. David Cornwell, Jameis Winston's attorney.
Fair to say former attorney after these comments.
Well, Cornwell, here's the flow of the tweets. Cornwell explaining why he's using the alleged victim's name publicly now. Quote, the media only reported half the story. Her name had been known for months and reported, and it's a media policy. How can the media dictate to me how I will defend my client? She lied and said Jameis hit her on the back of the head.
She did do that.
She lied and said she had been drugged. Journalism is dead in sports media, according to Cornwell. He went on to say, Cornwell explains that he turned down the opportunity to defend Ray Rice because of the video. He defended Jameis Winston because of the evidence going on a diatribe against the coverage of the case. He said that they got an apology from the New York Times after a column that they wrote last year. He said, I hope every single one of you are uncomfortable about this. Somebody, the mediator, moderator, went on to say, you've got to admit, talking about Jameis Winston, though, that he's a knucklehead. Cornwell's response, quote, he's ready to be an NFL player on the field, but he's not ready to be an NFL player off the field. He went on to say, talking about his transition to the NFL, quote, this league will chew you up, spit you out, and keep going. We have to assist him in growing and developing as a man, and it's not going to be easy. If he messes up again, he's done. So we talked about it, and Winston said, I want to meet the commissioner. Winston met with Commissioner Roger Goodell, said he has an incredible self-awareness. He was also later asked about him potentially being the number one pick in the draft. Cornwell said, book it. And then ended the session to applause. But some pretty interesting comments about Jameis Winston and that transition to the NFL.
Well, Cornwell may be right, and it's still the heavily favored odds would favor Jameis Winston going number one overall, I think, just because you're seeing some manner of equivocation in some of the reporting right now that the Bucs are locked in on him doesn't mean he won't go number one. David Cornwell doesn't have the say in that, though.
No.
Nothing, you know, that's his opinion. He can have a strong opinion on that. That's fine. Reporting from... Let's see, from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. Darcy Glazer Kasowitz, the Glazer family owning the Buccaneers. She is a sibling in the Glazer family and works with the team. And let's see, she is a part of the ownership group, actually. And she has raised questions, according to Charles Robinson, about how drafting Winston could affect the franchise from a community relations standpoint. The reporting doesn't say she's opposed to drafting him, but... The speculation goes on to say it raises questions about whether everyone in Tampa is completely comfortable with picking a player with a litany of off-the-field issues. I told you I talked with a member of the Bucs organization. I'm not going to name him because it's not important, because that's really not what we were talking about. It was an offhand thing, and I just said, you know, Winston, your guy. You know, this isn't a GM or anything who has say in this. And he goes, you know, I'm not sure. Because they certainly want everyone to think he's their guy, but he's not 100% sure. He goes, he thinks the taking a look at Mariota and Winston in such close proximity is not an accident. Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Bucs. Even though they said if they had to pick, they know who they'd pick right now. But this is bigger than who do you rank in your mock draft. This isn't who I think is the better player. As Cornwell says, he has no doubt Winston's ready to be an on-the-field NFL player.
Right.
You're picking the number one overall pick face of your franchise with a ton of baggage coming in. Beyond the thing, because I think Cornwell is correct that there were inconsistencies in what the accuser alleged to have happened that were proven to be incorrect. The toxicology was negative, right? That she didn't have anything in her system, and she claimed she was drugged. She claimed she was hit over the head. Her story did change. And the widespread reporting never focused on those inconsistencies. They focused on, well, did Florida State cover up the investigation? Those two are not necessarily mutually exclusive, by the way. She could have been lying, and Florida State still could have impeded the investigation, regardless.
Sure.
So put that aside.
And I know you and I have been discussing this since that story broke, and that's been my issue. It's been less with Jameis Winston because of the details as they continued to come out, and it's been with Florida State and the way they handled the entire thing. That's been my issue with the story basically since the beginning. But we're talking about Jameis Winston and his transition to the NFL.
Right. We're not trying to retry the case.
No.
That was not tried. But you know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to sway your opinion on the details of the case. You can feel however you like.
Right.
People to this day, I hear people call him the rapist. Okay. Which, whatever. I'm not even going to characterize why I think that happens in a lot of cases, but you could probably figure it out for yourself. Okay. But the Bucs are visiting with Dante Fowler. Now, maybe they're trying to create the impression that they're open for business, because if you create the impression that we're locked in on Winston, okay, maybe you don't get the offer. Maybe a team doesn't bother to make that offer to you.
Right.
Maybe they think, well, the price would be so high. Why waste my time? If I'm the Chicago Bears at 7 and I want Jameis Winston, why waste my time calling the Bucs? Let me vet Mariota and let me see if I can get up to Tennessee, because they don't seem to be as locked in. He doesn't seem to be as locked in as a prospect.
And Mariota's going to Tampa on Monday.
Right.
He's got a visit with Tampa Bay on Monday. I mean, they're obviously putting in the work on all these guys right now. And it's interesting that, you know, I don't think there was any question in Indianapolis a couple of years ago,
agreed,
who was going to be the number one overall pick. Like,
agreed,
they knew it was going to be Andrew Luck from the time that they were the number one overall pick. That's who that team was taking.
Didn't RG3 refuse to even work out for him? Didn't he say, basically,
so,
I'm not going to work out for him because I know who's the number one pick,
yeah,
and I'm not going to waste my time.
And we're in a situation here. I remember this, that Todd McShay, and this was 6, 7, 8 weeks ago now, tweeted out that of all the quarterbacks that he's graded in the last 10 years going into the draft, the only quarterback he's given a higher grade as a player than Jameis Winston was Andrew Luck. So if he's looking at the last decade of quarterbacks entering the National Football League, the only quarterback that he felt better about as a player coming into the league than Jameis Winston was Andrew Luck. That's high praise.
Sure.
That's saying that if you're a team like Tampa Bay who is quarterback starved and trying to solve that position, that the player, the talent of the player dictates that this is a pretty easy decision for you, right? But these away from the field issues cloud everything for a guy like Jameis Winston, and how mature and ready is he to take on the role as the leader of an NFL franchise where, look, the way the NFL works now, you start getting yourself in trouble. The quarterbacks, we haven't seen this. We haven't seen quarterbacks get suspended for 4 games and then a season. And Jameis Winston feels like the type of guy where there's that possibility with him as a franchise quarterback that maybe he does have enough run-ins away from the field that you're going to lose your quarterback for something stupid that he's doing away from your team, away from the organization. That's a real risk in today's NFL.
The only guy that is comparable, I think, and maybe I'm forgetting someone, it was Roethlisberger, right? Was accused of something similar, never went to trial, never got to the stage where he was charged with anything.
Right.
he had already won a Super Bowl, at least one. Had he won both? I think he had won one, maybe had won both at that time, but certainly had at least won one because he won it very early in his career. And
like that and the motorcycle accident, it all runs together.
There was
in my head.
Still talk about the Steelers getting rid of Roethlisberger, but this guy had a Super Bowl, at least one in his back pocket at that point in time. Jameis Winston doesn't come in with that. Can you imagine Blake Bortles? I mean, you can. Any people are human. All right? People can do things unexpectedly, out of character, what have you. But you'd be extremely shocked if Blake Bortles put himself in a situation where he made a headline that made the Jacksonville Jaguars look bad off the field, right? But if he did, you'd say you'd still give him a little bit more benefit of the doubt, and you'd say, well, first time you've ever seen anything like this out of that guy, right? If Winston does something like that with whatever team he's playing for, the I told you so's will be deafening.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. And that, look, you may not care as a fan. You may say, just give me the guy who can perform on the field. But they care if they start getting protested by, you know, women's rights groups and different, you know, advocacy groups, what have you.
We just talked about it's not. Everyone doesn't have to respond to the situation with Jameis Winston rationally. Everybody hasn't been responding to it rationally. And there are going to be people that are upset with whatever team happens to draft Jameis Winston. That's just the way it's going to work. Now, there's going to be a lot of fans in whatever city he goes to that's excited about the prospect of potentially getting a franchise quarterback. But there are repercussions because of what he's been involved with. For whatever team makes the decision and pulls the trigger on bringing Jameis Winston into their organization. And you have to weigh those against how much more do we like Jameis than Mariota? And I like Jameis more than I like Marcus Mariota. So if I was in the situation, it would be really difficult for me to pass up on Jameis Winston if I'm Tampa Bay, but I'd have to seriously consider the decision I'm making because it is such a franchise-changing decision.
I'm so not convinced that Marcus Mariota is going to be a great NFL quarterback that if I'm the Bucs and I'm not sold on Jameis Winston, I'm considering all my options, right? I'm saying, all right, I got the real prize here. We're the only one that can give you anybody you want in this draft. We're the team that's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's put the word out.
So you talk to Chicago and Washington.
You talk
these teams
to
that
the
feel
Jets.
Like
you talk to all of them.
Right, that they're waiting to see what's going to happen and if Marcus Mariota is available to them and say, we can do, you want Jameis?
You want Mariota? You want Jameis? You want either one of them. We're the only one who can deliver
who do you
anybody
like
you
come
want.
Come on up to one. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, look, does that solve their quarterback situation? No. But I still don't know what's so terrible about Mike Glennon. You know, compared to some of the young quarterbacks we've seen come into the league, he's not necessarily going to be a top 10 QB. And that's the thing about Winston. Can you pass up a guy that you feel has top 10 QB upside? Right? And we all talk about it. It's the most important position in American team sports is the quarterback. Well, when you have a chance
to
get a potentially elite one.
Right. You trade out of that spot, even if you say you draft Dante Fowler, say you get down to 5 and he's still available to you and that's the guy you wanted. Right, if you're Tampa Bay, and he comes in and he's a 10-sack-a-year guy, if Jameis Winston's a top-10 quarterback in this league, you blew it.
I think the Bucs would have to get an RG3 deal, though, right? I mean, that's what it would take, wouldn't it? Something like that, if they were going to make that move.
You would think.
And that's what you'd have to sell it as. Like, hey, this is the guy. This is the next closest thing to Andrew Luck coming out. Whether that's true or not, that's what you got to sell, all right? That's what we do. We sell it for the 2 hours here that we grind every single day. Preseason schedule, we'll get to that coming up next with the Jags. Take a peek at Kiper's latest offering in his mock draft version 4.0. How many will he possibly squeeze out in the next 3 weeks? Who knows, Tony? You got a Josh Scobie update. Spieth still. Oh, Spieth with a birdie on 5.
Spieth with a birdie there on two. So he's to 9 under now. 1 under on his round through 2 holes today. Ernie Els with another bogey on 7. So he has dropped to 4 under par. Now 5 strokes off the lead. Day, Hoffman, Rose, all at 5 under, still waiting to get their rounds underway.
I'd say attaboy Ernie again, but he's not really the one to be concerned with right now. The young pup, 21 years, 8 months old, youngest 18-hole leader at Augusta National, is threatening to open up some distance before the rest of the next batch
this
even
tee off.
This course
seems to fit him. I mean, he finished 2nd last year in his only Masters appearance. He's obviously gotten off to the start he did. Heck, if it wasn't for a bogey there on number 15 yesterday, which is usually a birdie hole for these guys, he could have been shooting.
Could have shot 62.
Right. He could have shot a major
championship record.
Louis Oosthuizen, the big mover thus far today. He's 3-under through six holes on his round today. 3-under for the tournament. That's six strokes off the lead of Jordan Spieth.
That's your Josh Scobie update coming to you from Augusta National. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. That's exactly what it is here. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with a look at who the Jags will be playing in the preseason, including a nationally televised contest in week three, right here on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac has been the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida with the largest selection of new or used Cadillacs. Pre-owned, I like to call them, in Jacksonville. Absolutely no dealer fees. And by the way, Claude Nolan Cadillac, the only Cadillac dealer here in North Florida selling and servicing the ELR. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model, and they're guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service, the elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Donna Murphy in the booth right now on Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank. Media mock draft, Tony, year 11, I think. I think it's year 11 coming up the Wednesday before the draft. So less than 3 weeks away from that. Much like last year, we'll cover the first 16 picks. And the boys of XL Primetime will pick up from there and cover 17 through 32.
Nice.
Won't that be spectacular?
I participated in a media mock draft earlier this week.
You did? Up in Pennsylvania?
Yeah,
was it?
Yes. Up in Pennsylvania, and was left with the situation that I mentioned at the end of a show earlier this week with you and John Osher. It's like, well, we keep talking about if the quarterbacks come off 1-2, but what the heck happens if Leonard Williams goes 2? Now what are you doing if you're the Jags? And say you can't get out of that spot, which in a mock draft you can't. You're stuck. You just have to make a pick based on what's available to you. And I went with Dante Fowler Jr. there at 3.
It's probably who I do at the moment.
Yeah, after Winston and Leonard Williams came off the board.
Yeah, and that's how certain players slide in media mock drafts, right? Because if the one team you expect to take them isn't there, and then like the guy who's picking for Chicago's like, I didn't expect Mariota to be here. And sometimes they already have their board set and they have their mind made up on who they're going to select if it's there, and all of a sudden you see these aberrations.
Yep. Chris Johnson still, I think, the coolest pull.
That was a good pull by Jim Wyatt of the Tennessee.
Yeah, that we've had doing that media mock draft now for 10 years.
At that point, not a consensus first-round pick.
Right, and not a whole lot of people even attaching him to Tennessee.
Right.
And
they had Lendale at the time, right?
Yeah, he nailed it.
Len Whale. And then the most eerily prescient selection when we went to New Orleans is the year after they won the Super Bowl, and Juan Kincaid picked somebody who was already off the board because he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And he goes, give me that defensive tackle Alu. What's his name? And we're like, huh? Who's that? Okay. 32nd pick in the first round. Tyson Alualu, however you pronounce it. And then little did we know, about 36 hours later, bam. We might have even done that one on the day of the draft.
Yeah.
It was so fresh in our mind. I think we did. And there it was with the 10th pick.
How about that?
Oh, my goodness.
He's still here. He made it to his second contract.
That was the Tebow draft. And as they said, little Gator hearts were a flutter. No, Tyson.
It's Tyson Alualu.
Tyson. Still here.
Yeah.
You know? Earned a second contract.
Good player.
Hey, don't knock Tyson, man. Not Tyson's fault that Gene Smith probably overdrafted him, quite frankly. I mean, it's not a knockout. He's a good player, solid player, worthy of a second contract and a versatile piece that they're happy to use. All right, let's get to his preseason schedule, Tony. I think it's a pretty attractive one for a number of reasons. Like, we know Pittsburgh has a contingent. You want to keep them out of your stadium? Scoop up the tickets for the preseason opener as the Steelers come into town. And no Troy Polamalu.
Nope.
Who, like, I guess, you know, the accomplishments, the accolades indicate he's a pretty damn good player. But I always thought, man, if the guy had a buzz cut, would he be considered the same? Didn't some of his legend come from the fact that that hair was flowing down the middle of his back? I just thought there was always something with that. And he probably He made some spectacular plays, but nobody was allowed to freelance more. I think if you let a lot of guys say, hey, you know what, just pick your spots, try to instinctively make big plays, don't worry about giving stuff up over the top, which he did, you know, maybe you'd have guys making more highlight reel plays. I don't know.
I enjoyed watching Troy Polamalu play the game. And when he was in his prime, he was as good as there was going in the NFL. And look, I think that there are guys that are talented enough that you let them freelance.
Weren't as good as Ed Reed.
No.
Then he wasn't as good as he was going.
But Ed Reed was kind of given that same thing. He was given that ability to do what he wanted to do on some plays. But he was a better player than Troy Polamalu. Ed Reed's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that Troy Polamalu's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think when you look at the safeties that we've had in this age of football, I think it's Ed Reed above everybody else, and then there can be an argument made that Troy Polamalu is number two on that list. And I get it. He's been given the opportunity to just kind of freelance and run around and make plays, but he made a bunch of them. And I mean high-impact plays for that Pittsburgh Steelers team that was winning a couple of rings during that period of time, too. And part of the reason that he is who he is might be that hair, and part of it is the fact that he was on a defense where he was basically allowed to do what he wanted.
Langevin hates when he would dive over the line.
No, he hates
I personally had no problem with that.
Right.
Change the rule if you don't like the rule.
But I think Polamalu was a fantastic player in this league, and when he was going good, he was great.
Well, we'll see how the Jags react to Shamarco Thomas.
That's right, Shamarco, bring it on.
Shamarco, first in line to get that strong safety spot with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Polamalu's been a bit of a shell of himself for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
anyway,
haven't been
regardless,
very good for a couple
that
years.
Offense, pretty spectacular, will be without Le'Veon Bell the first three games of the regular season, but he should be on display getting some carries here in Jacksonville, at least a handful you would expect, and he'll be your first look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I love the fact, 1-3 are the ones you want at home, to me, because you wait all summer long, you wait for football, and then, our first game's on the road against, you know, Arizona or something like that. Right. We're not going to get to go to that. No, it's going to be right here at Everbank the week of August 13th through the 17th. They haven't nailed down specific times except for the nationally broadcasted games. By the way, the Hall of Fame game is Pittsburgh playing the week before versus Minnesota, so the Steelers will already have one under their belt at that point in time. Jags go on the road taking on Odell Beckham Jr.'s New York Giants, is that fair to say? I mean, is he the most, quarterbacks are important, but damn, Odell Beckham Jr. is the New York Giants right now to a lot of people out there. Tony, we have any qualms about who comes out on top in a preseason encounter between the Jaguars and the New York Giants?
No.
By the way, the Jags own the Giants, as we saw last year.
Yeah, okay. No qualms
quite
at
clearly.
All.
Quite clearly.
It's a preseason game. I hope Blake Bortles is lighting it up, honestly.
All right. Week three, Jags come back home, and that's the key, really. Week three. And they get Detroit, and it'll be nationally televised on August 28th. What is that? Do we know what that is? I haven't bothered to look. Is that
a
Friday?
Friday?
I think it is, too, based on the dates of these other games. So they're the only game on the schedule that Friday night. Detroit at Jacksonville, CBS kickoff, so you get to see that one.
Well, they give you, at this point in time, they give you the four games, and if you're in a national game, they lock in the date and time.
Right. Oh, so you can see what you're saying. There could be some other Friday games, maybe.
Yeah, there could be other games on that Friday, but none of them are good. CBS, that's a national CBS.
The country's
going to
see that regardless.
Right.
So, you know, if that's important to you, and I've always argued that I don't know how important that really is, because who cares what anyone thinks of you? You're going to win what you're going to win, regardless of what the guy at Poughkeepsie thinks. But the Lions coming in, no Ndamukong Suh, but Haloti Ngata up there, and, you know, pretty good offense, pretty good test for the Jags in a game where you'll see the starters playing in the third quarter.
Yep.
Then they go on the road to Washington and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, week four.
Week four. Don't get any key players hurt. Watch for a few guys at the end of the roster trying to make the team. It's important to them. I get it. It's important from that standpoint. It's who cares? You know, it's the fourth preseason game. Don't lose any key players to injury. Don't risk any key players to injury. Get them all safe and through to week one
Absolutely.
Of the regular season.
Yeah.
That's basically all you're looking for. Quick peek at Mel Kiper's mock draft, Tony, the latest out there. Not anything too shocking at the top, certainly. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota leaving the Jags with Leonard Williams with the third pick. He says, quote, dream scenario probably overstates this. Andrew Luck isn't sitting here at three. But if Williams, the number one player on my big board, is still here at number three, I think the Jags have a pretty easy decision. Doesn't matter if you love every starter on your defensive line. Williams is an impact talent early in his career and a player who will make any defense better because there's no scheme you can put him in where he won't succeed. This is according to Mel Kiper. If Leonard Williams ends up going to Tennessee at number two, my hunch is the Jags would take Dante Fowler here. But in this scenario, it becomes an easy call. And that's what we've talked about. Maybe they need a Leo Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dave Caldwell feels about Leonard Williams the way Mel Kiper does, Leonard Williams is the pick if he's on the board, right? There's no question. Rounding out the top ten, Amari Cooper to the Raiders. Dante Fowler Jr. going to the Redskins. Brandon Scherff, bit of a surprise that high based on recent mocks we've seen. Going to the Jets with the 6th pick. Kevin White, the wide receiver to the Bears at 7. Vic Beasley goes 8 to Atlanta. Shane Ray to the Giants, who like to collect pass rushers. And then Rashad Perryman out of UCF. You brought him up yesterday. This cracks me up. And I get that the mock draft itself is just a projection of what you think teams will do. St. Louis certainly needs wide receiver help. But
right.
Again, the thing that drives you crazy. No player has risen more on my board over the past month than Perryman, a player I always thought looked explosive on tape, then lived up to that by running two sub-4.3 40s two separate times at his pro day. Look, if you thought he was explosive, the tape is all that matters. That's what everyone tells us. How did he rise on your board when you thought he was fast and he ran fast? Oh, wow. We already knew that, right? Why was it? I can get if you thought he was fast and then he ran slow, and you're like, wow, maybe he's not as explosive as his tape indicates, and you'd slide him down your board. But if he's just confirming what you already thought, how did he rise on your board? Why didn't you have him up there to begin with? It's just one of the confounding things when it comes to the NFL draft. Randy Gregory falls to 13.
Doesn't seem to bother me as much as it does.
Bug me. It really does. Falls to 13, Randy Gregory does to the New Orleans Saints, coming off that finding out that he tested positive for marijuana at the combine. Bud Dupree, another pass rusher, going to Houston at 16. Todd Gurley, first running back off the board, goes 19 in this scenario to the Cleveland Browns. Devin Funchess, man, I haven't heard. There was a lot of buzz throughout the season. He's a really tall guy out of Michigan, right? 6'4". It's kind of like a tight end who's more of a wide receiver. They've got him going 21st to Cincinnati. I haven't heard that kind of buzz for Funchess.
Not in a while.
Postseason,
yeah.
Right?
Melvin
Gordon.
It was like the combine or the Senior Bowl is kind of where his buzz started dying because
yes.
He was a player without a position.
Correct. Melvin Gordon goes 24 to Arizona in this one, the running back out of Wisconsin. Florida's DJ Humphreys, one pick later to Carolina. Byron Jones, talked a little bit about him. Could he be a target for the Jags at 36 if they think he can play free safety? Going to Dallas here, 27. Cam Irving out of Florida State goes 28th. And Eddie Goldman rounds out the first round out of Florida State with the New England Patriots with the 32nd
free
pick.
Free safety is just so hard. It's... Nobody really plays it in college right now because of the style of offenses and defenses that you're seeing at that level of football. So it's so hard to get somebody in the league that can do it. And I know people talk about Earl Thomas. It's why the Jags made the play at a guy like Devin McCourty that they did because, look, that's a corner that they transitioned to free safety because the Patriots saw it too. You can't just find a guy to play free safety in today's NFL, so they took a really super athletic guy that played corner for them, was a first-round pick at corner, and transitioned him to that position. It almost feels like that's what you're going to have to do to find somebody to play it at that kind of level in today's game.
Scobie update. Spieth pars the par 4 third hole at Augusta National, remains at 9 under par. Ernie Els with a birdie gets one back and moves back into now a four-way tie for second at 5 under as he's through 8 holes at Augusta National. Many of the other top leaders, what other kind of leaders would you have?
Leaders,
just regular old leaders. Each and every top leader, to be redundant, tee off in just a little bit.
Yeah.
So
Sergio and Jason Day are on the first hole, so we should get a score for them, or at least get them
positive
started
updates
in just a few moments.
Jason Day, please.
Yep.
Thank you very much. This date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. Straight ahead on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. Let's start with what happened in 1945 on April 10th, Tony, as the esteemed franchises of the Boston Yanks and the Brooklyn Tigers merged together. I looked at the backstory of this. The Boston Yanks actually play their home games at Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
But they were named the Yanks because the owner wanted the team that played at Yankee Stadium. Well, duh! You wouldn't want to play in Fenway Park if you had the choice. But Dan Topping, I believe, was involved in ownership of the Yankees. had the Brooklyn Tigers, and he announced his intention to join the All-American Football Conference in 1946. So his NFL franchise was revoked, and thus all his players assigned to the Yanks, which just became the Yanks as they split time playing between New York and Boston, and nobody really cared after that point in time anyway, as on they went into the annals of history. So you had that happen. I know everybody was on the edge of their seat for that one. But today, prompting the top five, how about these famous birthdays? April 10th, 1936, John Madden was born. Boom! He's on his back. That was a classic quote from Madden football circa
Brett Favre,
92. Brett Favre. And Danny Don Meredith in 1938, former broadcaster of Monday Night Football, also born on this date in Mount Vernon, Texas in 1938. So with that, the Friday Top 5 brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships is simply asking you to tweet us or post your list on Jaguars Today's Facebook page of your top five favorite sportscasters of all time. This date in football history brought to you all week long by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, we mentioned yesterday that Peanut Tillman was visiting with the Carolina Panthers. The former Bears cornerback agreed to a one-year deal with Carolina while visiting there yesterday. A moment ago, we were talking about week one of the preseason for the Jags going up to Pittsburgh. The Steelers getting their wish. Safety Troy Polamalu has decided to retire after a 12-year NFL career. Polamalu made 8 Pro Bowls in those 12 seasons. He was a four-time first-team All-Pro while collecting 32 interceptions. He was also named to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's All-2000s second team. Ed Reed and Brian Dawkins, the two first-team safeties there in the All-2000s team. Brian Dawkins played a 16-year career. I think he had 9 Pro Bowls with 5 first-team All-Pro appearances. Ed Reed was a 14-year career, I want to say, with 5 first-team All-Pros, so they both had one more All-Pro selection than Troy Polamalu did. The other second-team safety, not so nice company, Darren Sharper, the other All-2000s second-team safety, joining Polamalu as the second-team safeties on that team. But Brian Dawkins, Ed Reed, your first team. Troy Polamalu, part of that second team. 5 All-Pros is pretty impressive stuff from a guy like Troy Polamalu.
There is no alleged when it comes to Darren Sharper anymore. Serial rapist, Darren Sharper. That should be, you know, somebody had a good suggestion. I was reading just another article bemoaning the fact that this guy is guilty of at least 9 rapes, druggings and raping of women, and he's going to get basically 1 year in prison for each one of those, 9-year sentence. They said they'd be okay with that if he had to have the word rapist tattooed on his forehead, you know, in like 2-inch high letters upon his release. I think that would be fair. Perfectly fair with me. I mean, that's probably falling far short of the punishment he deserves, but nonetheless, PFT pointed out today in terms of Polamalu that Donnie Schell is considered, prior to the Polamalu era, the greatest safety in Steeler history.
Mm-hmm.
4 Super Bowl championships, 4 All-Pros, 51 interceptions, and he has struggled to get past the semifinalist cut to 25 for the Hall of Fame. He has struggled to get in the top 25 under consideration in any given year. And, you know, but the hair. Oh, but the hair. Oh,
We'll see what the discussion is with Troy Polamalu in 5 years. Look, Ed Reed.
Hopefully, it puts Donnie Schell in the Hall of Fame.
Right, Ed Reed's a first ballot. Ed Reed's a Hall of Famer.
I think he is.
Right, and Brian Dawkins. I'm not sure that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think at some point Brian Dawkins is going to get in to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think there's going to be a serious discussion about Troy Polamalu and whether or not he should or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a shoo-in like you're hearing a lot of people talk about today. I don't think that about Troy Polamalu,
Tony.
But I think that he's. He was close. He was on par with a guy like Brian Dawkins for a lot of those years. I think that he was. I think they were both a step below Ed Reed, but he was on par with a guy like Dawkins. I think 16 years doing it in the league compared to 12 puts it over the top for me, where Dawkins is ahead of Troy Polamalu. I'm not sure that all three of those guys are going into the Hall of Fame when everything is said and done. I know one of them is.
There's a lot of backlog, and you can only take five contemporaries
right.
at the same time right now. And that it's across every position in the National Football League. I found this interesting. You and I talked about this off the air. Go back a couple years, Seahawks and the Saints play in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and Michael Bennett, after the game in which the Seahawks beat the Saints in 2013, called Jimmy Graham one of the softest players in the NFL. Well, Jimmy Graham obviously has since been traded to the Seahawks and is now a Seattle teammate of Michael Bennett's, or will be, upcoming. And so Bennett was asked in an interview with Cairo Radio in Seattle yesterday if he still stands by those comments. I love the fact that he did. He said, I still feel the same way. Just because he's on my team, I don't stop feeling that way. Not only did Bennett call Graham soft after the playoff win, but he also called him overrated, saying nobody likes Jimmy Graham. I think he's one of the softest players in the NFL. I think he's overrated. I really don't like him as a person or as a player. When he's not in the game, he's not in the game. He doesn't help on the blocking plays. I think he's just overrated. In other words, when the ball's not coming to him, he may as well not be on the field, is what he's saying. He said, obviously I'm going to be a better teammate to him because he's on my team. I can't do the things I was doing to him when we were playing him. But obviously, when he comes to our team, he's a part of our team. We have a different philosophy than they had with the Saints. So the things he was expected to do with the Saints are going to be different when he comes here. Bennett went on to say, obviously, we're a running team. He's going to have to block, do all those things. I don't feel as harsh as I did at the time because he's my teammate now. But at the time, he was on the opposite team, and we're pretty good. And we battled with him a couple of times, and I really don't like that too much. Bruce Irvin at one point tried to fight him on Instagram, challenge him to a fight on Instagram, mm-hmm. And he said that it came out of, he was warming up in our area. I asked him to move. He said, I'm Jimmy. So I knocked the ball out of his hand, and I kicked it across the field. This is according to an interview in 2014, January of last year. So that's how it started. That's how it started. I'm Jimmy.
That's fantastic.
We had Jimmy Graham on at the Super Bowl on Sirius, and I very nice guy. You know, look, what do you know? If you sit down with a guy for 5 minutes, what do you know about a guy? I don't
sure.
know. But
I can't see, after reading that kind of thing, why anyone would think that Seattle Seahawks locker room may be hostile.
Not at all.
Like, you can't see why there would be all kinds of anger pouring out of that locker room over they're trying to prop up the golden boy over Marshawn Lynch. Man, some opinionated guys up there in Seattle. They're getting it done. I mean, back-to-back Super Bowl appearances with a championship, but it remains one of the most fascinating stories in the NFL, just what kind of bounce back we're going to see.
Bennett's got a mouth, man. I mean,
right.
he held court at Media Day. He was just running those gums nonstop.
Yep.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Jimmy. Man.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I can't wait to see how that all works out. Let's get a couple of phone calls in here before we head to break. We'll come back with a little sound from some of the latest visitors into Everbank. Some of the draft prospects that were in here. We'll hear some of their thoughts coming up here in a moment. But let's start with Wes up first here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Wes. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing good. Enjoying the show as always. Two things I was going to say about the draft. One's a question, one's a comment. First is a comment is that, you know, this draft is so good for what the Jaguars need and their needs are in those first three rounds that if we do trade back, I'd rather get a team's second round pick this year than their first round pick the following year, because I think it's a good draft for, like, you know, running backs and defensive linemen. But the question I had for you was Football Outsiders. I was reading an article that they did, and they backed up with some pretty good facts that they have a pretty good history of being able to determine if a pass rusher is going to be successful or not. They based it on some facts. Almost every time they said a pass rusher wasn't going to fail based on their analytics, they failed. And they gave it. There was one guy, I think, that worked out. So my question is, I know that Dave Caldwell could care less about what Mel Kiper says, but does he ever look at, like, Football Outsiders and you know, even give that a moment of thought and consideration? I know Tony Khan runs analytics, but I just wondered if they ever look at stuff like that. Thanks, guys.
You got it. I mean, look, it's, as they would describe it to you, a piece of the puzzle. Okay, I think Tony Khan's heavily invested in that side of it, and I think there is value to analytics. You can,
it's a tool.
It is a tool, but you know, it takes time to understand what does this number mean. I mean, that number a few years ago about Blaine Gabbert under what was the stat, Tony, about how
they were talking about how much when you gave him so much time in the pocket. And that's a bit of a ridiculous stat, because if you give any quarterback more time, he's going to be more effective. right?
I mean, right. You can come. That's the danger of analytics. Don't form the analytics around your preconceived notion. Don't try to find analytics that fit supporting your argument. Look at the analytics, factor them in. In the end, I think Dave Caldwell leans more towards good old fashioned scouting.
Yeah, I think football people evaluate the football players and then they use the analytics to support that decision. That's the sense I get here inside the building in Jacksonville. I don't get the sense that they say, here's what the analytics say about this player. To me, it's more, this is our evaluation of him. What do the numbers say about this guy, too, as kind of another tool to say, are we seeing what we think we're seeing from this guy and using that as kind of a sounding board for what you think about a certain player?
I think we have Mac on the line next. Mac, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Doing good, Mike and Tony as well. I was coming home last night. I enjoy all y'all's programming, but I was thinking, what a hard gig y'all got to strictly be NFL. You know, you're not as versatile, even though you plug in a little bit more sports. So hats off to you. Look, D. Murray.
Hold on, Mac. You're the first person that ever thought Tony and I have a hard job, bro. Let me tell you what. Thank you very much.
I envy y'all, but the way y'all stay focused and keep on topic, you know, it's not a wider range there. And I know Wes, who just called, what a great question. But look, hats off to y'all. Lauren Brooks and D. Murph are interchangeable. They're beautiful women. So there is no 1A or 1B there. But about that, I'm like Tony. It's football guys, and then they plug analytics after the fact. If mathematicians ran this whole world, we'd all be in a tight spot.
That's what we got fantasy football for. All right. Seriously, yeah. I mean they're different things. I mean, look, analytics can help, and you can't be a caveman either. Okay, you cannot be a caveman and just he doesn't look like. Dude, we're not gonna throw math out. You gotta be open to new ideas. The world changes. You have, you know, just the processing power that computers have, the stats and the ability to analyze data increases exponentially on a daily basis. Practically, it's crazy. So you got these tools. You can't get overwhelmed by them, but you can't ignore them completely either. You're going to get left behind.
Yeah, it still feels new enough with football that everyone's trying to figure out exactly how much you should use it. Like, it still feels like there's this feeling out process with football and how much analytics mean or what analytics you actually should be looking at. What number means something in football when you're trying to judge these players? And I think there is still a feeling out process with that going on. But you look at other sports, baseball and basketball. I mean, look at baseball right now. The amount of shifts you're seeing in baseball because of the analytics, because of the metrics in the game of baseball saying this guy hits the ball to this part of the ballpark more often than he doesn't. So 10 years ago, you may have seen, what, 3 or 4 shifts for guys in the major leagues. You know, Barry Bonds would get a shift because of how much he pulled the ball, and you were just like, well, he pulls it every time he hits it, so let's just put 3 guys over there. Now you're seeing shifts on guys like second baseman in baseball. You're like, what is happening to the game? But it's because the numbers dictate that. And in the NFL and football, they're trying to figure out what number means what still right now. It doesn't mean you ignore the existence of those numbers. You have to adapt to what's going on within the game, but you're trying to marry what you're seeing as a football guy and what the numbers say and determining what number means something to you.
Well, in some ways, it's very much like poker, right? Poker, if you know the math, if you know the odds, you may lose the hand, but the odds say if you continue to play that particular hand at that particular time, in the long run, you're going to come out ahead.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you don't want to completely go off the board sometimes and bluff and go on feel. And so there's a balance between the two that you got to find. All right, coming up, we'll hear some thoughts from Landon Collins, Devontae Parker, Vic Beasley, and Buck Allen, all in this week and all spending time with Brian Sexton on Jaguars.com. Exclusive full-length interviews available there. Video as well of these guys sitting down and talking to Brian. We encourage you to check those out, but we'll play a couple of highlights for you. Coming back, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, live from Everbank. We're working hard, man. I mean, it's tough, Tony. It's all NFL, and it's 2 whole hours of it. You got a Josh Scobie update for me?
I got a Scobie update if you want it.
I need it.
Jordan Spieth, who started the day at 8 under par after a 64 yesterday, He's got an opportunity to run away. I don't think we've ever had more appropriate music for a Masters update.
Well, I'm saying you're not going to get Snoop on the Frangie show. You will not get that on the Frangie show. Tyler's trying to get back in our good graces this morning.
But Spieth, 2 under through 5 holes today. He just birdied number 5, also the birdie at number 2. So he is now 10 under par. He is 4 strokes clear of Jason Day, who is all alone in second place. He birdie or bogeyed number 1, an eagle on 2 for Jason Day to get him to 6 under par. Ernie Els has been up and down a little bit today. Started at 5 under. He is currently at 5 under par as he makes the turn to the back 9. Sergio Garcia with a par on 1, a birdie on 2 to get to 5 under par. He is 5 strokes off the lead. Chuck Hoffman on the course now, 2.
Chucky.
He was with a par on the first hole, so he is also at 5 under par. Justin Rose still to get started. Louis Oosthuizen, the biggest mover today thus far. He is 4 under on his front 9, 4 under for the tournament, and that is 6 strokes off the lead of Jordan Spieth, who could run away and hide this afternoon if he finds a way to turn in another good round. I mean, he's looking at 13, 14 under potentially going into the weekend right now. Now
you better be at 10.
A lot of golf to come this weekend, right? And a lot of golf left for him today. So you can certainly have a hole that gets away from you and you wind up coming into the clubhouse at 10 or 11 under still if you're Jordan Spieth. But man, is he hot right now.
I could use him having 6 of those holes the rest of the way today. Tony, you know what Snoop said at the Bieber roast? He said, I'm going off script right
That's
now.
That's right. He certainly did.
Oh, and did he ever. Oh, my.
I just want to know.
Goodness. I just want to know. I'm going off script right now. I'm not kidding. I drank a little wine. I smoked a little herb. I'm just going off script.
That's right.
All right. It was fantastic. Let's get to Landon Collins, Devontae Parker, Vic Beasley, and Jaborius Buck Allen. All these guys sitting down with Brian Sexton over the course of the last couple of days as they've been in visiting the Jaguar brass, touring the facilities, getting a feel for the organization. Brian's done a terrific job, and we encourage you to check out all the full-length video conversations with these players at Jaguars.com. But let's start with Landon Collins. Well, it would seem like an odd selection for the Jags, even in a trade-back scenario. With Jonathan Cyprian in the fold, but Landon Collins, the Alabama, most people feel strictly a strong safety on how playing for the Crimson Tide prepared him for life in the NFL.
The defense schemes that we play every week, we had a different scheme for a defense, and we are a matchmaking team. We match everything that another team does, and the coverages that we do and all the checks that we play, it has to be so quick. It takes maybe to play, 10 seconds? We only have 5 seconds to make a check on the play.
Brian Sexton talking with Landon Collins on Jaguars.com. Also asked him about facing Amari Cooper, who's expected to possibly be a top 5 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Facing that guy every day, and what do you learn from that?
Knowledge of playing a receiver like that. When you play a receiver like that, you just have to figure out how to play him, what he's going to do, his skill set, his route running and stuff like that, because he was a different player. You don't see many route runners like that. He ran in most like a pro, because I see pros routes. I watch them on YouTube, and he runs them just like that. So just knowledge of getting ready for the next level.
Devontae Parker, Tony, Louisville wide receiver. I watched Louisville play a couple times this year. The guy snatches it, right? I don't know what his time speed is, but he reminds me of like a Larry Fitzgerald type. Not necessarily going to blow you away, but he's going to contest every ball, and he's going to come down with the vast majority of them. It reminds me a little bit of Allen Robinson, actually, you know, in terms of a big guy, can run, but his forte is going to be his great hands and his stature and all that. Considered the consensus number 3 wide receiver on the board, although Perryman is rising.
He's pushing, yeah.
Right, according to the draft pundits, but what have you. Parker, who knows, maybe a consideration for the Jags if they trade back. I was asked about Bobby Petrino and how playing for a coach, you know, who had some experience in the NFL, among other things, asked how that helped him get ready.
No, he helped a lot. You know, his style of offense made me, I think, utilize my ability to do more things and move me inside and outside so I can play either spot. Just get me open.
I did not expect that voice from Devontae Parker. Whoa.
What do you expect?
I don't know. It's a booming voice. Devontae Parker speaking with Brian Sexton there on Jaguars.com. Also was asked about what he's learned already from just being here for a day from that Jaguars coaching staff.
You know, it's a very good coaching staff. You know, they're really cool. And you can talk to them about anything they said. I just know that they were there for you throughout this whole process.
They're really cool, and they're there for you. Where like, do you get Jerry
it's
Sullivan?
Like Barry He's gonna be White's like, being interviewed.
Jerry Sullivan's going to be like, Bobby Petrino, you got Jerry Sullivan coaching you now, young man, all right? And I know how to handle wide receivers. Jerry Sullivan.
Did Brian ask him just one time? You'll never find just one. Give me one.
As long as you live. Let's go to Lou
Rawls in there, baby.
Before we get a little in trouble here. Vic Beasley, former Clemson teammates with Andre Branch and Vic Beasley, not even easy for me to say, visiting this week. A lot of people like him as maybe the number three pick in the draft, and was asked if he's talked to Andre Branch about what it's like to play for the Jaguars.
I haven't talked to Andre recently, but I knew that he has played. He's played here, and I played with him a couple years in college. And he gave me some advice over the years, and I think I'm going to take that on to this level.
Vic, obviously a consideration for the Jags there at number three coming out of Clemson. He was a teammate with Andre Branch. He had an opportunity to come into the league last year and decided instead to go back to Clemson for one more year. Brian Sexton, talking with him on Jaguars.com, asked him about that decision, skipping on the chance to go to the NFL last year and go back to school.
In my household, my mom always wanted me to graduate college, and I remember that. And before I came out, I was like, I got to get my degree. And that was a big part of the reason why I stayed another year.
I think certainly around here, his draft stock is improved, right? In the case of, you know, just look at how he played against Florida State in 2013-2014, right? Got completely, was a non-factor 2 years ago, played much better this time around, has disappeared in some big games, but I think he certainly didn't hurt his draft stock if you're being talked about as the third overall pick.
No.
The first non-quarterback being selected. Vic Beasley, again, with Brian Sexton on Jaguars.com, talk about the possibility of playing the Leo position here with the Jags.
I'm definitely open for that position, and I think I'll have great success at that position if the Jaguars did draft me.
All right, so he thinks he can play it. Vic Beasley also asked about what makes him stand out compared to some of these other pass rushers in this year's draft.
I just think my ability to pass rush, we're all great pass rushers, and we're all blessed with a great gift of talent. And I think my first step is probably one of the best first steps.
First step, Tony.
He's got a really good first step.
You ask her out and treat her like a lady.
Yeah, but if you read around about all these guys that are kind of being talked about with that number three pick, the top pass rusher in this draft, Vic Beasley is explosive off the line of scrimmage. And if there is a knock on Dante Fowler and Bud Dupree and these types of guys, is that they are a little bit slower off the line than a guy like Vic Beasley. I mean, he is a great athlete at that position, and he has honed his set of skills to be a pass rusher at the NFL level. It's everything else that comes with playing three downs in the NFL. Is he ready to do that?
Can he stand up against a run?
Right. And those are the questions that the Jags have to ask about a player like that, because it feels like Dante Fowler is more ready for the big overall task than Vic Beasley is. And do you feel like Dante is going to develop into that Leo who is going to be a 10-sack-a-year guy for you?
Yeah.
And Vic Beasley, can he develop into a guy who can stay on the field for three downs and not hurt you in the run game?
Finally, we'll get to Javarius Buck Allen, USC running back. Some eye-popping numbers, not a household name necessarily, but plenty of college fans, I'm sure, know about him, but not necessarily ranked among the tip-top of the running backs. But that's the thing about running backs. Got a guy who ran for over 1,400 yards at Southern Cal.
Mm-hmm.
You can get him third, fourth, fifth round, maybe. Who knows where he'll come off the board. That's what you have to weigh when you talk about, boy, do I invest so much in a Todd Gurley and a Melvin Gordon and a whomever I may have to take in the top 40 selections. Alan was asked about his impressions of the Jaguars so far.
Great. It's a great staff. You know, all connected and all about, you know, being interactive with each other, you know, being there for each other. And they got, you know, great running back. Toby Gerhardt, a good running back. They all good. And they just looking for, you know, somebody else to, you know, fill in that role. Another running back, you know, to come in and, you know, to help, you know, carry the load and make a difference. And, you know, I'll love to stay in my state of Florida. And, you know, it'll be a blessing and an honor.
think the guy's on the drill side. He's from Tallahassee originally. So that's where you get the whole state of Florida connection here. Who knows if they'll draft any of these guys, right? I mean, you get the feeling, though, out of all the guys that they're looking at, they bring in Leonard Williams this week. They bring in Dante Fowler. They bring in Vic Beasley. Mm-hmm. They bring in Amari Cooper. Did they bring in Kevin White? I know there were some reports they were going to bring in Kevin White.
I didn't see White on the list.
I know. Well, you get the feeling, and beyond that, it's not just this week. You've got the Senior Bowl. You've got the Combine when you're meeting with guys. They're going to have a good feel for whoever it is that that selection is ultimately going to be. And I'm sure at this point in time, they've likely met with that guy. The question is, at what point did they meet with him? How do they feel about him? Who is that guy? And how solid are they that that is the guy? And what would it take to move off that spot if he's available at number three? Whoever's right at the top of your wish list, what's the gap between that guy and the next guy? And what would the price be if someone wants to come up and make a move into your spot at number three? All right, coming up, we'll make a move to the Friday Top 5 this week in honor of John Madden and Dandy Don Meredith's birthdays. We've got your top five favorite sportscasters of all time. Still time to tweet in a top five of your own at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, or post it on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Again, thanks to Brian Sexton's great work at Jaguars.com. We encourage you, go not just the ones we played today. If you missed any of these guys, he's got a stack of sit-down interviews with a bunch of guys that one of them at least is likely to be a Jacksonville Jaguar, perhaps even more than one of these guys. So get to know them a little bit early. By the way, Brian Sexton making at least one top five list that I've seen today for your favorite sportscasters.
Yeah.
So good for Brian. And we'll do that when we return on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch we come here. Jaguars Today, time for your Friday Top 5, brought to you today by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking fans what drives you. Today, John Madden's birthday, 1936, I believe it was. Dandy Don. Is Dandy Don still kicking? Is he shuffled off this mortal coil?
I don't know.
He was born in 1938 on April 10th, and so in honor of those two Monday Night Footballers. Some people think John Madden's the greatest broadcaster of all time, sports broadcaster of all time. I do not agree, but that's okay. I prefer Caliendo.
Don Meredith died December of 2010.
Thought he might have passed away. So rest in peace, Dandy Don. But we asked you for your Friday top five all-time sportscasters.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to some of yours coming up shortly. Let's run through our top five. Let's start the countdown.
Number five.
Five.
Come on.
Five.
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 Number five.
All right, we got some sound coming up a little bit later in this list, but for me, number five, and this is the time of year where I'm reminded of how much I love this guy, is Jim Nantz. And not only what he does with golf, but what he does with CBS and football. Phil Simms can drive me crazy, and I'm saying that as a guy who grew up a Giants fan, and he won us a Super Bowl championship and all that. Look, he drives me crazy, but Nantz, I love listening to call a game, and it's kind of in the same vein as a guy like Pat Summerall to me, where it's not too excitable, it's always very cool, he gives you whatever is going on. He's obviously the voice of golf for my generation, and every year when Augusta, we get to this point in the year, I'm reminded of just how much I enjoy him on the call of golf, especially there at the Masters. But Jim Nantz, number five.
And let me jump in. Tyler's going to go next, but let me jump in and say the reason that we're not running sound for all these guys. We came up with this at the last minute, and Tyler found sound for all your guys.
All my guys are on there, baby.
And I got none for mine.
There's a reason my five are in the system, because I probably put all of the cuts for my guys in the system.
Next Friday, my top five all-time producers, okay, that I've ever worked with in radio. Tyler, you're number five, please.
Well, since I'm probably on the lowest of that producer role, and no, I'm just kidding. My number five guy, I have a guy who's probably more well-known for being a great NBA and college player at UCLA, Bill Walton. Nobody ever knows what this guy's going to say. It could be from llamas to the Grateful Dead. You have no idea what Bill Walton will say on a given night.
Bill Walton will go on a run on the legalization of marijuana, mm-hmm. or as he's been known to do. Bill Walton you know, he's a take him or leave him kind of guy, I think. I appreciate that. I like Bill Walton. For me, I'm going to go with number five, with a guy that I got a chance to know a little bit personally. He used to come on the show on a regular basis just a few years ago here on 1010XL. Good friends with his son Kyle here in town, Pat Summerall, who just the voice of football to me, for me, you know, for other people to be Keith Jackson, what have you. Always understated, unlike myself. Pat Summerall didn't need a bunch of words. He didn't need the spot. He didn't need to compete with John Madden.
Nope.
He just did what he did. He gave you an economy of words. He did it in that ridiculously amazing voice of his. Great across multiple sports. So he's my number five. Moving on.
One, two, three, four.
Two, three, four.
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 Number four.
Tyler Devitt.
I did stick with my Homer, my Indiana Hoosiers. It's a guy who's been pretty much... Yeah, you called it, Mike. You called it. It's a guy who's been covering Indiana University football and basketball. His name's Don Fisher. He's been doing it for almost four, I think over 40 years now. So he's seen all those good IU teams, and they haven't been so good lately, but he's been the man for them so far.
All right, there you go. The Fish, the big Fish, the Hoosier Fish. I went with my number four, Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store. All right, I still remember those commercials. Look, to me, he's Yankee broadcasting. Growing up, Rizzuto. I love the way he called Bill White simply White. I don't know. There's something about it to me. If you're a Yankee fan, I think you love Phil Rizzuto. If you're not, you probably can't stand Phil Rizzuto, and that's fine. And immortalized beyond his work in the booth, with his work in the booth being used in Paradise by the Dashboard Lights by Meatloaf, as you know, that little play-by-play of is he gonna get home safely, if you know what I mean, done by Phil Rizzuto. He is my number four.
Number four for me, and this is a guy, he's not as good as he was 10, 15 years ago, but Al Michaels is still great. And Sunday Night Football is still my favorite broadcast of the week in the National Football League. And obviously he's been around for so many iconic moments, including the Miracle on Ice, which is my favorite call of all time. That call of, you know, do you believe in miracles? And it was completely spontaneous, like he's talked about it. No, I had no plan. How could I have a plan? You know, you're watching a hockey game, whatever happens, happens, and I just happened to get lucky enough to say that, and it's become as iconic as it has. But for me, number four is Al Michaels.
I agree. One of the great calls of all time. Moving on.
Three.
Three.
Easy.
One, two, three.
One, two, three.
Three. Three.
Three.
Three.
Three.
Number three.
Three are almost interchangeable. I really love these guys. But my top, in fact, I think we've done a list before among current broadcasters where I had them at number one, even. Mm-hmm. So that's how interchangeable they are. But I love Johnny Miller doing golf. I love, the fact that he will call you a choker.
Yep.
If he thinks you're a choker. I love the fact, you know, he does not court friendships with the players on the tour. He calls it like he sees it. He tells you what, you know, he talks about how great he was, but he also tells you about how much he could have won if he wasn't such a choker himself. Johnny Miller is not afraid to hurt feelings. He puts it out there like he sees it. Not everybody's going to agree with him, but I love Johnny Miller calling golf.
Number three for me, and this is obviously one that hits close to home for a lot of people around here, but he was with Vanderbilt before he got to Georgia, or here with the Jacksonville Bulls, any of that stuff, Larry Munson, and what he brought to the broadcast booth, basically breaking all the rules of what you're supposed to do as a broadcaster, but doing it in the most spectacular way possible. We play Run, Lindsey, Run every year. Everyone knows the hobnail boot call by now. That's a Southern football fan, but Larry Munson, who didn't do it the right way, but damn was it right when Larry Munson was on the call of Georgia football, number three for me.
Tyler.
Number three for me is a guy who a lot of Florida Gator fans remember from back in 1999 when Gonzaga played against them. It's Gus Johnson.
Oh, it's Mike's favorite guy.
Oh, it's not.
Really?
I love Gus. Gus. I love Gus.
Gus's false enthusiasm for the most mundane of plays. What an inbounds pass!
What a rebound!
Are you kidding me? All right. That's all right. Hey, to each their own.
It's our list.
I'm sure there'll be others who agree with you on Gus Johnson. Moving on.
One, two.
One, two.
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 Two. Two, right?
Two.
Twice.
The second.
Two.
Two.
Number two.
All right, number two. I know we're only supposed to play our audio for number one, but can I get a little leeway here,
Mike? All right, we're gonna bonus you one piece of audio.
Can I get
here?
A little leeway here? Because Frank Frangie, I hope you're listening, still one of my favorite moments of all time, Game 7 of the 92 NLCS.
A double, an air, and a walk, and the bases are full of Bray. Bream carries the winning run. Two balls, one strike. What tension. The runners lead. A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive left field. One run is in. Here comes Bream. Here's the throw to the plate. He is safe. Braves win. Braves win. Braves win. Braves win. Braves win. They may have to hospitalize Sid Bream. He's down at the bottom of a huge pile at the plate.
Oh, gosh, do I love that call.
You got the whole crew on that list.
Yeah, I got all of Braves TV when it was on TBS. Skip and Pete and Joe and Don and Ernie and all those guys. It's part of the reason that I've grown up a Braves fan. My dad was a Braves fan before me, so he suffered through the 70s and 80s. And it's the only pro sports organization that I knew he was a fan of. And I grew up watching it or listening to it every night. My dad was on a business trip in 92 when they won that game. I was on the phone with him while he was in a hotel room running around my living room going absolutely berserk. But that Braves TV crew is number two on my list.
All right, moving on, Tyler. What do you got?
Number two for me is a guy. Well, I'm really young. I'm only 22 years old. This guy died when I was six, but I absolutely love him. I love going back on YouTube and watching his clips. I don't think he really calls the game great, but he was just so darn funny. A guy named Harry Carey.
A guy named Harry Carey. He's like, introducing you to a guy named Harry Carey. I thought he was going to go Richard Miller there. I'm so young. I'm going to go with a contemporary of mine right now. By the way, sixth on my list, Barry Milligan, Richard Miller were splitting the vote at number six. Number two for me was the longtime voice of the Knicks. Make all the backbiting jokes you like. Marv Albert, yes, Ewing in the paint. I love Marv Albert. He is the voice of basketball as far as I'm concerned. So getting to number one.
Number one.
Tyler, what you got?
For number one, you just named it for me. You spoiled it, Marv Albert.
Jazz over at the foul limit. We're down to five. Short putting moves on Russell. We're down to two.
That's so trademark. Yes!
Probably wouldn't have picked that for myself.
No, you probably wouldn't.
As the longtime voice of the Knicks, I probably wouldn't have picked that one for me personally. But that's all right. My number one, currently pulling double duty as the voice of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and where I grew up hugging the radio, particularly in the early 80s, listening to Gene Deckerhoff along with Vic Prenzi on the call back then. And this particular call is for Hacker. There you go. Hacker's going right now. There's a block in the back. There's a block in the back. Hey, scoreboard, Hack. Scoreboard. All right. Gene Deckerhoff, number one, the Golden Throat. Like I said, top three for me, pretty interchangeable, but love them all.
Yeah, love my number one, too. I don't even think he needs an introduction. Play the clip.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. It is over. At 10 minutes after 9 in Atlanta, Georgia, Henry Aaron has eclipsed the mark set by Babe Ruth.
Vin Scully is the voice of baseball, and I know we're going to lose him sooner rather than later as the voice of the Dodgers. He only does home games now. I still flip over when I'm watching baseball at night at 10 o'clock after the Braves game's over, I still flip over to listen to three innings of Vin Scully call a game every single night. Love him to death.
I think Tony's got a single tear running down his cheek right now.
I'm going to miss him. When he's gone, I'm going to miss him.
A couple of quick ones from Facebook. Johnny Crum went with Harry Carey 1, Will Ferrell as Harry Carey 2, John Gruden. I thought he was going to go Caliendo as Gruden at 4. He went with Lee Corso. I'm going to skip who he put at 5. Jamie Clark went with Stuart Scott. Vernon Gary, Brian Sexton at 3, John Gruden and Andres Cantor. Go! I'm not gonna do it.
Go!
Go, 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 go! Yeah, nah, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. Just a
Santa Maria goal!
What do you got? Give me a couple of quick ones on Twitter. What do you got there for
from
me?
Twitter, here's what we got. We got Al Michaels, John Madden, Gus Johnson, Joe Buck, Mike Tirico from Isaiah, from Mack Truck. We got 1, Vince Scully, 2, Kurt Gowdy, 3, Harry Callis, 4, John Facenda, and 5, all the Jags announcers. From Black Dog, Harry Carey, Pat Summerall, Al Michaels, Don Meredith, and the Mexican guy who calls goal.
So Andres Cantor.
One more for Cantor. From Rob Keith Jackson.
Is he Mexican?
No.
He's like South American, right?
Yes.
Some country down there.
Yes. Keith Jackson, Vin Scully, Pat Summerall, Gene Deckerhoff, and Mike Patrick. I do love Mike Patrick. From Eric, Harry Carey, Nance Lundquist, Skip Carey, Al Michaels, honorable mention for Madden and Cosell.
All right.
We didn't get a whole lot of Cosell. I'm a little surprised by that.
Yeah, he was always hated, loved kind of guy, you know? And I think more hated than loved, but always won those polls as the most hated and most beloved sportscaster, which was phenomenal for his popularity because you tuned in for either reason.
Sure.
You'll love him or hate him. And plus, the fact it's Monday Night Football. What the heck else are you going to watch? All right. That does it for us today. Claude Nolan Cadillac presents the show every Friday. We appreciate those guys, all of you out there in listener land as well, for weighing in with your top five lists and just tuning in on a daily basis. That does it here. Thanks to Brian Sexton for all the great work he's done on Jaguars.com all week that we could bring you some clips of. Go check out his extended interviews with some of those draft prospects there. For Tyler Devitt, Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We got XL Primetime. Oh, yeah, and for Donna Murphy popping in today as well. XL Primetime next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.